healing is one of my favorite subjects. I come from four generations of physicians who long to see people healed and made healthy. As an offspring of that legacy, I long to see the great physician bring healing and health to people. One very important thing I learned is where healing begins. The starting point for healing is recognizing that healing has already been accomplished in the salvation you were given when you were born again. Just as salvation carried forgiveness of all sins, it included healing of all diseases. Psalms 103 begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Wait a minute. If that is so, then why are so many Christians struggling with sickness and disease? It could be that down through the years, the church has forgotten to teach the benefits the word speaks of. Because Psalms 103, I think I left it out, says, "Forget not all his benefits." The word speaks particularly of the benefits when it comes to healing and health. Psalms 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." I shall not lack for anything, including health. This lack is what we will begin to address today. There is no such thing as a gospel that does not include both forgiveness and healing. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now, most Christians believe that Jesus' sacrifice gave them forgiveness and deliverance from hell into heaven, right? They believe that Jesus paid the sin debt to the justice of God, yet the salvation that Jesus bought with his blood was not only deliverance. It was a fivefold package of grace that along with deliverance included protection, preservation, health, healing, and soundness. Five things, five facets in your salvation package. Now, since everything in the kingdom of God is accessed by faith, if you don't know that you have been given these other things, your faith doesn't know to access them. So yes, health and healing comes in the package of salvation. Like a good parent, the Father provided everything we would need to live a good life. Even before Adam sold out to Satan, God had designed man to live in a fallen world. How so? He gave man an immune system. Before the fall, there was nothing in the world that could harm man. There would have been no need for an immune system. But in the foreknowledge of God, he knew that man's choice to heed the voice of Satan would mean living in a world that was fallen, that was corrupted, subject to disease and sickness. Now, God did not have to wait to see it happen. He created time, and he lives outside of time. It's what we call eternity. So he could see that man would make a bad choice to listen to the enemy. Being forward-thinking, he included an immune system in man's design. He also included the answer to Adam's sin before he began creation, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Nothing would be left out of all that our heavenly parent had provided for us, for his children. Now, you can tell whether a Christian knows that their salvation includes healing by the way they talk. Do you find yourself saying, "I know that God is going to heal me"? Though it sounds like a perfectly good confession, there is something fundamentally wrong with it. The emphasis is on going to be healed. These words indicate a future event. You need to change from a future expectation to a present reality, even though that reality is not yet visible. What confession would that be? It would be a confession that sounds like this. Thank you, Lord, I am healed right now. Right now. Look at Hebrews 11. It begins with these words. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's the first word, class?
Now.
Now. Faith is always accompanied by the word now. Faith is not faith if it is not now. Why is that important? Turn to Mark 11 and we're going to find out. Jesus tells us why it's important when he explained to the disciples about the fig tree he cursed. Jesus received the tree as dead the moment he spoke. But to the eyes of the disciples, nothing changed. Nothing until they passed by 24 hours later and saw the tree dried up by its root. Okay? Mark 11, verse 24. To the amazed disciples, Jesus said, therefore, what things soever you desire when you pray, at the moment you pray, at the time you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If you think that healing is something that happens in the future, you have missed a key operating principle of the kingdom of God. In the world, we say we have a thing when it's at hand, when it's visible, when we are able to perceive it with our natural senses. God's kingdom works differently. We are told to believe we have it while it's still invisible and not discernible to our natural senses. You receive in the now moment, not in the future. If you do that sometime in the future, Scripture promises that you shall see it in the natural, visible realm of this world. Typically, what falls from my lips about healing we need is, I pray to the Lord and I believe that I will get healing. The E in get needs to change to an O. It's not, I will get healing, it's, I've got healing. Not get, but got. Got it? Okay. It's a matter of trusting that God is faithful to his word to give what you ask. In the first letter of John, chapter 5, verse 14, he writes, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. When you believe you have the answer when you pray, it's a response of faith that is, and that is doing it God's way. Faith must know both the will of God and the way of God. If you don't know that it is God's will to heal you, then you don't know that healing is available. You can't pray with confidence about something you don't know. As we said in our last lesson, faith is not blind. Faith looks through the storm to the end, and it doesn't focus on a present reality. In a previous lesson, we learned that tacking on, if it be thy will, to the end of a prayer where the will of God has been revealed in his word, puts a question mark into the prayer. Faith always stops at the question mark, because a question introduces doubt. To clarify, there are prayers where if it be thy will is appropriate. Those are prayers where the will of God has not been specifically revealed. There are different kinds of prayers, just as there are different kinds of sports. And just as you don't play football by the rules of tennis, or basketball by the rules of soccer, there are different ways that are appropriate to different kinds of prayer. For instance, Lord, would you have me go as a missionary to another country? Or would you have me move the family to another city? Or would you have me marry this person? It's appropriate to end those prayers with, if it be thy will, because the will of God has not specifically been revealed in Scripture. However, it's been clearly revealed that healing is God's will, so there is no need to question that with, if it be thy will. Acts 10, verse 38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There is no specific number given in the Bible of how many people Jesus healed in his earthly ministry, but we know that all who asked were healed. Indeed, there were times when multitudes of people were healed. Faith is not just knowing the will of God. It must be coupled with knowing the ways of God. God intends us to get results every time we pray. Those results don't just happen because we know the will of God. They are not automatic, but they require our cooperation. It requires that we know the ways of God. If we are not getting those results, it's an invitation to get more knowledge. God has outlined in his word both his will and his ways. We can't arrive at God's best by taking our own fleshly ways. It takes God's ways to arrive at God's will. And healing is God's will. So now that we know that, if results are not happening, then knowing the ways of healing, how healing comes, is what we need to get hold of. Faith is needed to access the invisible realm of the Spirit, where all the blessings of God are stored. When the Pharisees asked when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Lo, here it is,' or 'there.' For the kingdom of God is where, class? Within." Back to what John said. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, and we know that he hears us, then we know that whatever we ask, we have obtained the request made of him. Let me ask you, class, how can God not hear you if he's inside of you? Too often man looks to things on the outside for the help we need. Jesus counters that, saying, "The flesh is of no profit. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life." Mary, the mother of Jesus, she knew this. When the wine ran out at the wedding, she petitioned Jesus to do something about it. Then she told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." She knew that the words of Jesus would bring life to the situation. They did, and the water turned to wine, best wine ever. It was a short and profound sermon Mary preached that day, and it's one that always gets results. Do whatever he tells you to do. Proverbs 4 addresses this very thing. So let's turn to Proverbs 4. And we will pick up at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Give ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing, medicine to all your flesh. The first thing God says is, pay attention to my word. There are other voices out there, and who you are listening to will make a big difference. Jesus said as much and it is recorded in Mark 4, verse 24. And I'm going to read from the Amplified translation. He told his disciples and us, "Take heed what you hear, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you." This statement makes it sound like we have a lot to do with what comes to us, and we do. Some declare it's all up to God, as though healing is automatic once you pray, as though a miracle will fall out of the sky and we have no role in the matter. No, it's not all up to God. We have a part to play, and it begins with paying attention to what God is speaking. Hebrews 1 says that God upholds the world with the word of his power. The power of God is in his word. Words are life, and this life has power. Get a little word, you get a little power. Get a lot of the word, and there is more power to withstand the enemy and his schemes to steal, kill, and destroy. 1 John 5, verse 4 says this, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is what God is saying to us, and that causes God's power to be released in the situation. You know, there is this saying, you are what you eat. Have you ever heard that one? A child eats a lot of candy, and the next thing you know, they are bouncing off the wall. That's because sugar gets in his system. Drink a lot of coffee when you're sleepy, and it gets in your system. You couldn't go to sleep, even if you tried. The caffeine gets in your system. What you eat or drink goes in your mouth, down your esophagus, into your stomach, and it's dispersed through the body. But if you put food in your hand, even though it's touching the body, it won't get into your system. It must go to the stomach to be dispersed. In the same way, the word must go to the heart to be dispersed into the body. Just going into the mind, mental ascent, will not cause it to affect your body. The heart is the storage place for the word. If God's words go only into the mind, nothing happens. Do you know why? There is no faith in your mind. Faith is only in your heart. Faith is the catalyst for the power of God to be released. The only accurate measure of how much faith you have is how much of the word you have in your heart. Now, it takes time to store up the word, and that's why it's good to be starting early. When a threat comes to your health, or for that matter, to anything that concerns you, you want to be firm in your faith, rooted, established, immovable, determined. That's what gives you the victory. Remember what John said? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, does that mean that if trouble comes and you haven't stored up God's word, or maybe you've just gotten saved, that you're just slap out of luck? No. God knows that everyone is not at the same growth level in their faith, and he has provided 7 different ways to get healed. That's how important it is to him that we get healed. He provides different ways, so no matter where you are in your faith, there is a way to connect with healing. 7 ways, but that's a lesson for another day. But just so you know, here are those ways: the name of Jesus, the prayer of agreement, the laying on of hands, the anointing with oil, the gifts of healing, asking the Father in the name of Jesus, and the very best way, simply standing in what you already know of the word. So there is more than one way to be healed, But for this lesson, we're going to study the last way, standing in what you already know from the Word about healing. Everything begins as a seed. In the parable of the sower, Jesus identified the word as seed. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. It's here that Joshua was told how to have success in leading Israel into the promised land. The book of Joshua begins with the word, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Moses, the lawgiver, is a type or a shadow of the old covenant of law. Moses, as personification of the law, was unable to bring Israel into the promised land. Trying to keep the law of God will not bring you the blessings you desire, because you can't keep it perfectly. Keeping it perfectly is a requirement of blessing. That's something we've covered in the lesson before. Keeping the law perfectly is something only Jesus could do. Now, Moses' understudy was challenged to do what he could not do. God speaks to Joshua. His name in Hebrew is Yahweh is salvation. That's a name that shares its root with Yeshua, the name of Jesus. God gives instruction to Joshua as he embarks on this daunting task to bring the children of those who died in the wilderness into what God had promised and wanted them to have all along. Make no mistake, God was ready to fulfill his promise to that first generation. Hear what God had to say about their failure to possess the promised land. And this, I'm going to read to you rather than you turn, is in Psalm 95, verse 10. "For 40 years, I was grieved and disgusted with that generation." That's the generation that was delivered from Egypt. "And I said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They do not approve, acknowledge, or regard my ways." This was a mindset that displeased God. They were a people who knew the will of God. He had brought them out of the wrong place to bring them into the right place. But they refused to approve God's way of doing it. They refused to acknowledge and regard his way. So they wandered in the desert for how long?
40 years,
until that generation died. Egypt was a place of not enough. The wilderness, a place of just enough. God's desire was to bring them into a place of more than enough. But they refused to honor God's way. They wanted to do it their way. In other words, they wanted God to adapt to them instead of them adapting to God. For all we know, they could have been singing a version of Frank Sinatra's song, "I'll Do It My Way." "I Did It My Way," I think is how he sang it. I guess Dr. Phil's question would be, how's that working for you? Being fair and just, God tells Joshua exactly about what his way is of doing things so he can get it right. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Notice in this verse that only Joshua and the word are mentioned. God is not mentioned. It is the word and Joshua who will determine the success. How much of the word will Joshua receive in his heart? Will it be a little of the word? A little of the word is not what God is telling Joshua. It's not what he's telling us to get. The Gospel of Matthew references this verse in Isaiah that's often quoted as a basis for hope and expectation of healing. So turn to Matthew 8. While you're getting there, the Isaiah scripture that is referenced is the one that begins, "Surely he, Jesus, has borne our griefs, our diseases, and carried our sorrows, pains, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed." That's the background for Matthew 8, verse 17, which quotes Isaiah. Now, most of the time, let's see, it says, we speak the last part of verse 17 that says, "By his stripes we are healed." See the last part? Mm-hmm. However, check out the first part of that verse. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Matthew 8, verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. You see, what is left unspoken is unfilled. What is left unspoken is unfilled. God, when we speak his word, it is an invitation to God to get involved in the matter. He waits for someone to speak his word so he can fulfill it. Isaiah had heard God and had spoken from the heart what he had heard. So how does this apply to us? Turn to Mark 11. Back to the Gospel of Mark. Faith is the way of God to access the will of God. So are we giving God his word so he can fulfill it, just like Isaiah gave God his word? Jesus explained how his words accomplished the demise of the fig tree. "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up, cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he shall say shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says." That's Mark 11, verse 23. That's the law of faith. It's the way that God has ordained for healing to come. And the very next verse continues to expound the law of faith. Verse 24. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have them, and you shall have them." Verse 23 says you must speak what you know to be the will of God. Verse 24 says you must believe you have it at the moment you pray, even though it can't be seen. The way of God involves both speaking, believing, and then acting. How do you know if you are doing that? Well, are you saying, "I've got my healing right now"? That's an action of faith. It shows that you are speaking in agreement with God, you are receiving the answer at the moment prayed, and then you're taking the faith action of declaring it to be so. It's the same way that Isaiah spoke and Jesus fulfilled his words. We speak what the word reveals to our heart, and the Holy Spirit goes to work, divinely fulfilling what we speak. Paul quoted the psalmist in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. "Since we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, 'I believe, and so I spoke,' we too believe, and so we speak." This is an operating principle of God's kingdom. It's the way that God has set up his kingdom to function. This principle can work for you or against you. What are you speaking that you want God to fulfill? Just know that the enemy wants to fulfill the things that you speak that you don't desire. That's why we are careful not to talk sickness and disease or to listen to someone who does. It's a good idea to mute the TV when ads come on talking about diseases and what you need to get. Never mind the side effects can worsen the disease, or they can kill you. whatever you pay attention to is what can get into your heart. This is why Proverbs 4 says, my son, my daughter, he's speaking to the family. Pay attention to my words. Why? Because they are life to those who find them and healing, medicine to all their flesh. Sadly, not everyone finds God's words. Even many devout Christians who love God fail to find them. Much of the failure lies on the doorstep of the church because she has failed to teach the benefits God told her not to forget. When we know God's will and determine to follow the way prescribed in the Word, the result should be God's promises fulfilled. In the Old Testament, there's an account of a king who followed the way God had outlined under the Old Covenant. His name was Hezekiah, and he was a godly king over the southern kingdom of Judah. Turn to Isaiah 38. During the reign of Hezekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Isaiah was sent to tell the king to get his affairs in order. The sickness he had would cause his death. But Hezekiah knew something about the God he worshipped that turned the tables on death. Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, came to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover. That was the facts of the situation God was telling him through the prophet that would happen if it played out naturally. However, this prompted the king to petition God for healing. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I walked before thee in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria and defend this city. That's something he didn't even ask for. It's just bonus. This is a sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing that he has promised. Behold, I will make the shadow cast by the declining sun turn back 10 steps. So the sun turned back on the dial, the 10 steps by which it had declined. So it was fulfilled as spoken by Isaiah, and the chapter ends with Hezekiah declaring, while the grave cannot thank thee, death cannot praise thee, he, Hezekiah, now healed, gives thanks and makes known to others the faithfulness of God. In his darkest hour, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall so he could not see anything but God. Proverbs 4:20 was what Hezekiah did. My son, attend to my words. Pay attention to what I say. He did that, and the words of the prayer changed that which would have been the natural outcome of his illness. Our faith-filled words can do the same. Remember, words are not just for communicating. The first and primary function of words is to create. When God spoke in the beginning, he saw darkness, but what he desired was light. To have what he desired, God spoke, let there be light, or literally, light be in the Hebrew. Then God said, and God said, and God said, and as a result, God saw, and God saw, and God saw. The first use of words was to create. There was no person there to talk to in the beginning. The words were not for communication then. They were to create. The mountain we speak to is whatever stands in the way of abundant life. Hezekiah did not have the indwelling Spirit of God, as the sacrifice of Christ had not been made, and the Holy Spirit could not indwell man. His prayer was directed outwardly to the Father. We, on the other hand, do have the Holy Spirit inside and have the authority that Adam lost restored to us. We can speak to the thing that attempts to steal the good life God gave us. We speak to the mountain of pain. We speak to the mountain of symptoms. We speak to the disease. No longer do we ask God to do what he has given us the authority to do. Now, the world says that's just nonsense. But the Bible explains the unspiritual man does not receive the gifts of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because he is spiritually discerned. And it also says that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This gospel that we've been given does not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. This is the way God prescribed us to be healed. When the will of God is coupled with the way of God, the power is released for healing. 10 years ago, our family was confronted with a cancer diagnosis that was stage 4. I had been chasing after an understanding of divine healing for 30 years at that time, and would have sworn up one side and down the other that I was a firm believer in divine healing. After that news came, I stood by a fish pond and I heard a verse from Psalms 103. That's the psalm that begins, that we began the lesson with. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And I heard the Holy Spirit ask me, do you believe that? Oh yes, I replied, I believe that you forgive all my sins. And he answered, that's not what I asked. And I knew immediately what he was asking. He was asking, did I believe that he heals all diseases? See, this is where the rubber hits the road, when it's personal. And I stood there for a long time because I realized that there was some doubt there. And I started remembering what the word said. Psalms 103 says he heals all your diseases. And then I remembered that God said, I am not a man that I would lie, or a son of man that I would change my mind. And then I thought, didn't Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? As I thought on those things, I reasoned that God could not lie. Then when the word said he heals all diseases, it had to be true. And I made a decision right then to believe that God heals all diseases. And it played out just as God had said. 10 years later, Will is a living testimony to the truth of that word. Someone once said, do not make the mistake of believing in divine healing and not taking the medicine of God's word. Now, I know one person in our class who has been doing that on a daily basis. Our sweet Anne was given a gloomy report on cancer, which, by the way, I did ask her if I could say this, that she was given a gloomy report on a cancer that reappeared 4 years after getting a clean bill of health, told that she would have to continuously be on chemo infusions every 2 to 3 weeks to sustain life. Anne had a choice. Whose words would she pay attention to? She chose to go with God's words, kicked out the fear that rode in with the unfavorable diagnosis. Along with Psalms 103, he heals all diseases. She daily fed on multiple healing scriptures. This past week, a blood test that registers the circulation of cancer cells, she explained, with a range from 400,000 down to 10, because 10 is the lowest number, it's undiscernible. Now, 3 months later, her numbers are down from 96 to 32, and they continue to go down. And she is right here with us. And I have to say, she told me her oncologist was amazed. Psalms 92 says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. Will and Anne are living memorials to the Lord's faithfulness. They became such following the will and the way of the Lord. How about us? Let's be the same. Amen?
Amen. Amen.